You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Washington Post reporting this morning that two American service members have been killed in eastern Afghanistan. So keep their families in your thoughts and prayers, as always. And a reminder to all of us that freedom certainly isn't free. And with that, when you say, yeah, I get that, comes responsibility. It blows my mind, honestly, when you think about people who run governments who honestly believe that now, because in their time, they've seen the last of a menacing nation that would threaten them, and they don't have a need for a strong military. I mean, that is in history. You know, if you took that position, you were, you know, life had a way of intervening and teaching you that, you know, that's not really the way it goes. That's not the way it goes. And so when I look at that, and I shake my head. And we as a nation, we've been at the center of it. And so, and my point is this. If Germany, France, blah, 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 were with us in all of this, Great Britain, you know, the major powers, and if they had formidable militaries, who would screw with what we say? Right? And the answer is nobody. And then you wouldn't have these stupid situations that we get into that, and the United States mismanages them, go there forever. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating to see the waste in terms of human life that these wars bring us. You know, I get it. Sometimes war is necessary. And the one with North Korea might be a necessary one that, you know, you have to fight. It might be a necessary one you have to fight. Because can you allow that regime to have nuclear weapons? The answer to that is no. Hell no. So I'm just, it just frustrates me that, you know, there should be like the Ten Commandments of leadership that are carved in the White House, that the Ten Commandments of leadership that are carved into maybe not leadership of government. One is peace through strength. Never, ever, ever, ever let your guard down. And we should require our allies to embrace the same. But again, so we've been in Afghanistan since 2002, so 15 years there. And General Mattis just there. And what you're going to see, again, I'll look into my crystal ball. You're going to see a more robust, more refined American effort there. A more robust, more refined there. American presence there. So we can bring this to a conclusion that fits into our global strategy of stability, prosperity, and open government. So that's what I'm thinking. So anyway. Sad news this morning, anyway, too, and doesn't give any other information other than two United States service members killed in eastern Afghanistan. So, you know, my thought always when that would happen to us would be, there's a family right now that's waiting for a thunderbolt. They're not waiting for it. They're hoping it doesn't arrive, but they're waiting, sitting on the other side of the world, and have no idea that son or daughter, husband, is dead, living their last peaceful moments, and their world's about to be brought to a thunderous pause. And then they'll go through the process of learning what Gold Star families learn to live with, so which is a huge burden. I talked about a story that I'm interested in, so I'll get to the early bird in a second. This came out of the early bird, but and I want to link it to an article that I saw. And a friend of mine posted it, and it's out of Task and Purpose. And it's about anger and leadership. Here you go. Real leaders don't motivate their troops by being angry. And I'll get this guy on and we'll talk about it. Leadership is you practice it with a series of tools, kind of like your golf clubs, right? I use different tools for different situations. Anger is a legitimate tool of leadership. We have become such a pussified country that getting angry is completely And what you have is grown-ups who, when somebody gets pissed because they don't do what they were told, they don't do it when they were told, and they don't do it how they were told. And the way you get, most people get angry. Some people have anger problems. That's a different issue. But the way most leaders get angry isn't because something didn't go right. It's because either this has been done repeatedly, and anger is appropriate. They should feel the wrath. Not everybody functions at a high level because of, we'll all be happy, it'll make us better. Not everybody does. And I'll tell you who I saw that, who taught me that lesson. The Secretary of Defense. I was more, my personality is my personality. I have an edge to it as a leader. When I decide you're pissing down my back and telling me it's raining, stand by. Because I don't play that game. So if you work hard and you show up for work and you're consistent, that's what I ask of you. And when you don't do that, and I'll give you a chance, when you piss down my back and tell me it's raining after I've given you a chance, you're going to feel the wrath. Yeah, roll down like a mighty... like a mighty something, like a stream, like a mudslide, like something. So we need to talk about this. And my point about this is this: you can only talk to people for so long, and some people don't get it. So I say that to introduce a story. Headline in the Marine Times. Marine faces felony charge for allegedly posting intimate pictures of a woman online. You can go ahead and look this up. I don't particularly care to use the guy's name. So you can talk about it. But at some point, this is a good thing. And I'll just give you a summary. A Marine with more than 20 years of service has been charged in a civilian court with posting intimate pictures of women online. Quote, we are aware of the alleged charges against Master Sergeant X and are working with NCIS and local authorities to ensure a thorough investigation. Captain John Roberts of the 2nd Marine Air Wing. He is accused of posting one nude photo of a woman and six pictures of her wearing underwear on April 14th, according to an arrest warrant, which does not identify the website where the pictures appeared. Jacksonville police arrested Mr. X on April 20th after the woman told authorities about the pictures. Police said the woman, who was named, had previously been in a relationship with him. And then they go into his career. So to me, this is what needs to happen. And in a very public way, these people need to be dealt with. Because the idiots don't learn any other way. It's just like how does the shellback ceremony get banned? Right? Because the idiots get a hold of it. And they are in every unit. They're not too many of them, but they're there. And if you let them run amok, then guess what? Stupid stuff happens. So this whole parenting and this whole mamby-pamby way of leadership is makes people soft, and life isn't for soft people. And so we get more of it. We get more of that. And I just find it, I find it incredulous that, that we think that you can treat people, you know, in this, you know, oh, your feelings count and, you know, you have a say and we don't want to hurt your feelings. And then they be responsive somehow, to your requirements. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And especially in an organization, it doesn't work like that. So when I see articles like I just told you about, anger, you know, doesn't, you know, blah, 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 blah. Bullshit, man. Marine Corps has done a lot of great things on anger and guys getting pushed. Women getting pushed, sometimes physically, to get their ass in motion and stop screwing around. Get your head in the game. Yeah. So, you know, Martin Van Creveld writes about the pussification of the military. And I'm telling you, man, stuff like that. And again, if you have somebody who has anger management problems, I got it. Right? Abusing somebody, no. But there should be an edge to leadership, especially in the military. Now, let me just tell you, some guys are beloved. Joe Dunford's kind of like that. Everybody loves Joe Dunford. Well, how many Joe Dunfords are there? One? Not everybody's like that. Most people use their personality. There has to be an edge about it and backed up by the discipline of the Marine Corps. Their smarts, their sense of humor. That's how most people lead. Something in that. And email says, Mac, what did Mattis teach you? What did Mattis teach me? Okay, so I would tell you that I'm more of a Dunford guy relative to leadership. That I skew towards Dunford and probably more towards Kelly than Dunford. Dunford's just a great, great guy. Kelly's got a little bit of more edge to him. He's a little bit more plebeian. Dunford a little bit more refined, I would tell you. Mattis doesn't have their kind of people skills. A little socially awkward. I mean, he fakes it pretty well. But Kelly and Dunford, they walk in the room, they own it. Mattis owns it, you know. There's a bit of an edge to Mattis, and you feel it in a room. Just because that's it, that's a power of his personality. So what did he teach me? So I get a chance to watch, General Mattis in action every day. And what I see, in that is, how do I say this? What do I see in that? What I see in that is his intimidation of middle-of-the-road performers that gets them to perform at a high level. That's what I saw. Pretty interesting little thing. So, I thought the 1st Marine Division performed at a very high level in 2004 by virtue of the way people were intimidated by Jim Mattis's, he will show up. If he's unhappy, you'll get your ass chewed. If it happens again, or if he gets the scent in his nostrils through the sergeant major or anybody else that you're incompetent, you are going to be done. Your career is going to be over. So you best have your shit together when he shows up. Now, that's a little bit different than kind of like your grandfatherly type general officer comes in and says, how you doing? You know, arm around you and whatnot. Mattis had an edge to him. Mattis has an edge to him. You can see it in his press conference, the very direct way and the very specific way that he answers questions. Watch Kelly in a press conference, very personable, very articulate. Mattis got an edge to him. And I walked away from that thinking that, you know what, the higher you go as a commander, there is a function there as a leader in having people scared, having people intimidated, or at least a little bit of that. At least a little bit of that in your game so that they get it. They get it. And I would tell you that was not my going in position. It kind of surprised me, to walk away from that. And so when people would say, oh, you know, this, that, and the other thing, I'd say, yeah, you know what though? I saw the 1st Marine Division perform at a pretty high rate. At a pretty high rate. And it did a lot of that out of intimidation. And I would have told you before I watched him that I didn't agree with stuff like that. Now, I would tell you it's probably a necessary piece as a commander tries to leave his handprint on his division. I think that some of that has to be swift, silent, and deadly. And so, just like this, don't lead with anger. Look, when you're soft, you're undisciplined. Here you have somebody who's been in the United States Marine Corps for 20 years, who's posting images of somebody online. Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll get to the news at some point. And then at the top of the hour are my guests this morning. And you heard him a week ago. Daryl Hill, we're going to talk about fighting through post-traumatic stress. Real leaders don't motivate their troops by being angry. No, that's not how you motivate them, okay? And this whole idea of motivation, you know, is bullshit too. At the end of the article, the author does, I will give him this. At the end of the article, the author says, yelling isn't necessarily angry. So he gets his X-Acto knife out. But I don't agree with his premise. Right? I don't agree with his premise. Your job is to get stuff done. Sometimes being angry is a piece of that. So, anyway. Yeah, I've got issues with it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a...
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, a quality of life? The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org veteransfoundation.org/Marines.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Continue here on a Thursday. Mike McNamara with you, checking the news here as we tend to do. So the let's see, early bird. Yeah, I just my whole thing about leadership is, and got me a little bit off edge, off my game here this morning, is it's pussified. The stuff I get in the and maybe I just get it from people that are having problems, you know. But yeah, you know, they're brighter and smarter, but there's a driven, hard edge to leadership, because the world that we live in is a driven, hard place. The consequences are staggering. You've heard every guy that come on here talk about leadership, and what's one thing they talk about? They talk about discipline. They don't talk about feelings and communication. They talk about in combat, if you're not disciplined, people are going to get killed. No bullshit. People are going to get dead. And so then you see us, you know, you see what happens when we're a soft organization. All right. Trump gives Pentagon more flexibility on Iraq, Syria, and troops. So that's the top story. The picture is a picture of Joe Dunford and Jim Mattis walking, it looks like, someplace on Capitol Hill. Dunford's got a folder. Now, mind you, Dunford is a regimental commander for Mattis. I don't know the first time they met, probably before that, given the kind of guys that they are. But you see them laughing, kind of talk, as they talk and walk. And it's the, knowing them, it's the warmth that they share as commander, subordinate, as peers, and so it's a cool picture. Anyway, the White House is giving the president, the Pentagon, greater flexibility to determine the number of U.S. troops in Syria and Iraq, in another move by President Donald Trump to shift greater power to his military leaders. The decision will give Defense Secretary Jim Mattis the authority to send more forces to Syria to assist U.S.-backed local troops as they move to retake Raqqa from the Islamic State group, which has used the city as their de facto capital. It will also let him adjust the force numbers in Iraq in the ongoing fight to oust ISIS from Mosul and stabilize it as the rebuilding of that region begins. The Pentagon has already been making quiet, incremental additions to the troop levels in both countries in recent months, adding hundreds of Marines in Syria to provide artillery support and sending more advisors into Iraq to work with units closer to the fight in Mosul. These moves were done with White House approval, but without any formal adjustment to the longstanding troop caps that had been put in place by the Obama administration. So, interesting. And I'll tell you what, I think it reflects the confidence, certainly, that the president has in Jim Mattis, which obviously important. PACOM commander, no dice on calling off Korea military drills.
The head of all U.S. forces in the Pacific told lawmakers continuing exercises between the South Korean and U.S. forces are vital to the alliance amid China's call to curtail them. The Carl Vinson Carrier Strike Group, which recently had its deployment extended, is conducting exercise with the Republic of Korea, while Exercise Max Thunder, a massive air exercise involving U.S. and South Korea troops on the peninsula, continues through the week. China believes the exercises destabilize the situation with North Korea, and that if the U.S. curtailed them, Kim Jong-un might agree to de-escalate. But Harris said the exercise should continue so the U.S. can fulfill its treaty obligations. Again, peace through what? Well, you know, again, the Chinese are telling us to do this. So, peace through what? And I would tell you that we'll probably give that a listen to. I got to dig it up, and you'll probably hear the commander of PACOM. I think he was in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee testifying. So I will check that out. I will check that out. Elsewhere in the early burn, already talked about the story about a Marine staff NCO facing charges relative to publishing pictures of somebody. Somebody says, I got an email. Hey, Mac, the nature of the pictures is, do they give her identity away? Is it, has the head been? It doesn't say any of that. I would imagine that, although I don't know, that, I don't know. Let me leave it at that. And here's a story that's been kind of on the background that shouldn't be. Because this thing's escalating and it's going to complicate Syria. Syria is, if you can't tell by now, Syria is a quagmire, an absolute quagmire. And it has potentially the chance to get worse, because the card that doesn't need to be played, may get played, is this. Airstrikes launched by Turkish warplanes on Tuesday that killed U.S. Kurdish allies in Iraq and Syria were described as unsafe, according to Air Force Colonel John Dorian, the spokesman for Operation Inherent Resolve. Officials in Baghdad claim Turkey provided less than an hour notification to coalition forces before launching strikes against Kurdish positions in Sinjar, Iraq, and in northern Syria. Sinjar, Iraq. The Turks were flying sorties there. How about that? So those are American allies. The Iraqi Kurds. And the Turks are using. So my point is this. That thing has been brewing. That thing's been brewing for a bit. And it's not a good thing. So anyway. Elsewhere in the news, I'll go to just a couple of headlines real quick, and then we're gonna get our guest Daryl Miller is the brother of Reggie Miller. He played baseball for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Daryl Hill is gonna be on the program coming up next. Yeah, so there you go. Elsewhere, other Marine Corps headlines. A recruit died as part of a pulley session. So Marine Corps is dealing with that. And that's probably the biggest story that's not above the fold. So our thoughts and prayers again to that recruit's family. Sad, sad story. And most of the time that involves a congenital heart defect. And unless there's some other form of crazy misconduct going on. But anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk post-traumatic stress. We're going to talk fighting through it. And our guest, Daryl Hill is going to talk about how he does this. And I've got a couple emails from last week asking about, hey, Mac, Daryl sounds like a psychiatrist, is he? So we'll ask him that. And part of his what he does is that. So more of Allman Radio coming up next here on the All Warrior Radio Network. I want to take a minute and welcome to the program the Marine Corps Mustang Association. They are a proud sponsor of All Marine Radio now. And let me tell you about the Marine Corps Mustang Association. It's comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a distinct group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the ranks of the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve as enlisted Marines. The term is used by the Navy and the Marine Corps today refers to a commission or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. In its proper sense, Mustang refers to the wild or half-wild horse of the American plains, especially of Mexico and California, and was a distortion of the Spanish term Mustango. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was conceptualized by Captain Robert E. Richter, United States Marine Corps, retired, was formed and incorporated in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. So what do they want from you? That's their history. That's what they are. It's their 33rd year of existence. They want you to join. The Mustang Association continues to educate itself, to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie, not only over the course of their military service, but also as they transition and become civilians. They are looking for a few good men and women. Mustangs. Mustangs to join them. You can contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. You can like them on Facebook, a proud sponsor of All Marine Radio. All right. When we come back, Daryl Hill. More of that next.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, our quality of life? The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit, into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
A little bit of production phone issues here on All Marine Radio, which makes when the phone's not good, finding a workaround isn't easy. So joining me again a week later to resume our discussion is former captain, major, right? Major? Why can't I hear you? Uh-oh. One of us is screwed up. We're both searching to find out who's screwed up right now. And it could be me. Audio settings are finicky, so he hears me, so we know, that's good. So the question is, what sound card is his audio going through? Yeah. So, what the hell? Why isn't allowing me to change that? Audio and video. Video. Default. All right, hold on. Everybody, just bear with us. On-air producing sucks, I know, but sometimes it's part of the business. And it's part of this business right now, so... There you go. Let me end that. Let me go into Skype. Let me go ahead and look at speakers. Oh, God, what the hell? This is killing me. What's the default? All right, hold on. Huh. The default's where it should be. That's not a good sign. So we'll try it again. Why can't I hear audio? No, all the audio. It's him, it's not me. My default going in is that it's me, but it's not. It's you. Oh, now I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I don't know what the hell you were doing, but
where's that combo? Get that combo up.
You're the combo. You're the combo, you goof.
I've been the comedian.
Oh my god. I would first of all, Semper Gumby, as you put in the window a minute ago. Daryl joined us a week ago, so let me just give you a little synopsis, and then he can fill in. So Daryl grows up in a divorced family, kind of like me. The divorce was not pleasant. Sees the Naval Academy as a way to get a good education. He's a team sport guy growing up, so the team thing makes sense. He can goes to Navy, and then joins the Marine Corps, becomes an infantry officer, serves in the infantry, cross paths with a commander in the Marine Corps. And that's not always, that's rarely a pleasant experience, and it happens. And bottom line is the military is a caste system, and if you're unfortunate enough to run into somebody like that, and I have in my career, it doesn't work out well. And so gets out of the military and goes on to do other things after a lot of, I would characterize, jobs in sales in that part. He kind of begins to do some consulting work, and which leads him to this. He and I cross paths because Ron Baskowski, retired Marine Corps Brigadier General, sends me an email and says, "Hey, Mac, you need to have Daryl on your program." So that's how we meet. Now, what did I miss there?
That was pretty much it, man.
How sad is that, right?
You're pretty good.
All right. Well, I wanted to do that because I wanted to devote some time today to fighting through post-traumatic stress. And so tell me about the first time that you took what you do with is essentially people fighting through barriers and applied it to post-traumatic stress. And so I want to know how you got that on your radar. And then I've got one email that I want you to kind of address before we kind of expand the conversation.
Okay.
All right. Go.
First of all, again, thanks for having me back, guys. I appreciate it.
It's going to become a habit. So so I love doing it, man.
Yeah, good, as long as it's a good habit.
it is a good habit.
So, thanks a lot for having me back on, Michael, and I appreciate the opportunity to share my story with Marines out there and hopefully the ability to inspire some guys to either reach out or get some help for themselves in the post-traumatic growth areas, as we like to say as General Mattis. So what happened with me is I went into kind of like a downward spiral there in my life at the moment, and I was the only job I've actually taken as a W-2 employee I went to, and it was only because it was about helping veterans, the reason I did it, is a friend of mine at the American Legion was working there. And I went to work in the American Legion, and as I was working there, it was a program called Hometown Heroes Program. And it was about guys who were reaching in to get help, and they were calling in to get help, and I was constantly talking to veterans on the phone and helping these guys get help. And it was a very good feeling to be able to do that, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Right.
And I had this one veteran come to my office one day, and his name is Chris Goner. And Chris had been separated out of the military for about 5-6 years at this point. He had been part of 2,000 some trauma cases over in Iraq. He had been FMF unit also out in the fleet, so he was one of the corpsmen that was out on the battlefield, as well as being in doing another tour in the trauma center there they had to help guys, and guys dying on the operating table and stuff like that, and right. He was there for all of it.
Right.
So Chris in my office.
Honestly, I don't know how those people are ever right in the head again. You know, it's just such a, that job of, you know, people come in struggling for their lives and you have limited ability to help them. That's brutal. And to do that day in and day out, that's really tough. So, yeah, I don't know how those guys are ever right in the head again, but please continue.
So I met Chris, and Chris walked in my office, and I had an instant connection with him. He shared his story real quick because he had a service dog with him, Pele. And he walks in with Pele and it's this beautiful lab. And I said, "Hey, man, what's, how are things going?" I was like, "My name's Chris, and I'm a disabled veteran. I have PTSD." And I'm like, "Dude, you sound like a wind up doll right now." I'm like, sit the hell down, you know? And I just kind of have that ability to just cut right to the point with people. And we had a great hard-hard conversation. I had just met my mentor, Tom Kavanoff, out in California, and he's a Marine veteran. And I met him, and I was like, "Listen, I don't know, because I haven't worked through the process with him yet, but I have a really good feeling that he can help you." And I looked at him, and he was like, "Dude, I'm all about getting help." He's like, "I've been in trauma therapy for 5 years at the VA. I'm on 18 different medications. I have my service dog here. Keeps me from committing suicide." He's like, "I've gone through 2 marriages that have gone bust. I'm literally failing out of school. They just keep me in school because I'm a veteran." His life was an absolute mess. The guy couldn't read like one page on a piece of paper. He couldn't take a piss without having his dog. Right. I mean, like literally with him when he went to the bathroom, this is how wind up he was. And, I share this with you because this is open knowledge. If you want it, you can watch the video. Chris shared everything I just shared with you out on out on the video on YouTube, so you can go watch the video and talking about this. So I reached out to another veteran organization. They got him a plane ticket, flew him from the state of Washington down to California to meet with Tom. And I kid you not, he spent 48 hours with him. And within the first 4 hours, he had let go of all that trauma he had been associated with on the emotional standpoint, perspective of that he needed to have a service dog anymore, or he needed to, be that person with PTSD. He could just be Chris Goner again, right? And what had transpired in Chris's life was an ultimate just shift that fast. And it was because he was able to kind of face those demons. They were at a very young age. See, the thing is, a lot of people who get post-traumatic stress, as they call it, basically have developed something as a young child. In this instance, he had, at the age of 7, seen somebody who was killed across the street from his house right in front of him, and it really left him traumatized. And later on in life, he had gone through and wanted to serve and help people as a corpsman, because there was that time where he couldn't do anything for that person. Right. So subconsciously, he became a corpsman. Go figure, right? Right. And so now he's at a point where he's serving, helping save lives on a daily basis. And he was at Disneyland out in California when the fireworks went off. Now, at this point in time, he had just come back from his deployment in Iraq. He was on vacation with his family, with his wife at the time. And he was at Disneyland. The fireworks went off. Chris hit the deck, and he did not get up. And that's at that point where they had to – literally, he was in shock. And they got him to the hospital, and they couldn't – he was, like, done. The military, within a year, he was separated out of the military 100% for having disabled veteran. For being a disabled veteran, like military retirement, like you're done, like you're on a military retirement. He couldn't function whatsoever. And he also was 100% by the VA. Okay. And the reason I'm sharing that part with you is because once Chris went through the protocol, which is what I, do now and things I've learned from Tom, is he's been able to not just like have his life back, right? But he literally went back to the same psychiatric people because he seriously considered getting back in the military. He wanted to become a Marine officer, right? At this point, he's about 30, and he's getting up there on the age side of things for doing that.
Right.
And I said to Chris, I was like, listen, I was like, you can go become a Marine officer, but you also have the opportunity to help a lot of people with what you've actually gone through. I was like, that's going to be your ultimate decision on what it is you want to do. I mean, don't get me wrong, being a Marine officer is an amazing opportunity. But you have also a unique situation where maybe your real higher calling is to help other people that have been in your same situation and, serve the world in different capacity. But it's going to be up to you to do. So he thought about it, and he actually got all the way to the process. He went back to the same psychologist that kicked him out of the military, the same medical board, and they reviewed his paperwork. They went through and interviewed him and talked to him, and they actually cleared him. Like 100%, he has a letter saying that he is cleared to come back in the military from the same people who kicked him out for having post-traumatic stress. And he's the only veteran to ever do that. And he's the only veteran to have a letter like that from the United States government. And here's my like little pet peeve is you've got people out there who benefit a lot from veterans that are, have, post-traumatic stress because they're giving them medications, because they're giving them prescriptions. I mean, it's like giving these guys multi-cocktails. You give them one pill, and then all of a sudden they need to take another pill because, they're not on this one pill, but this one pill causes side effects, so they give another pill to deal with side effects, and now all of a sudden you're taking 18 medications like Chris. And it's killing people. It really is killing a lot of our veterans that are out there. They don't even know what to do.
To me, the biggest problem is that you're not dealing with the issue. I liken this to, refugee camps on the outside of a war zone. You can build refugee camps, and I also I'll draw a parallel with domestic violence. Mm-hmm. You can treat the victims of domestic violence, and I say this, with my family background. I never thought that this would be the conclusion I would reach when I got involved in raising money for domestic violence shelters and things like that. But my conclusion is it just like with the refugee camps. At some point, you have to deal with the problem, okay, or else, for instance, with domestic violence, if you don't deal with the guy, one woman leaves, right? And then what happens? Another one slides into that spot.
Yep.
And there's this endless parade. So my conclusion after all that was, you got to deal with him, which is not the guy I want to deal with. I want to beat his ass, okay? But you got to deal with him, and you got to get to the root of the problem with the UN stuff. You can build refugee camps, but you ought to get in there with a powerful force and get between whoever's doing this and stop it and stop the killing. Solve the issue. And if it means you have to take Yugoslavia and partition it, then so be it. Okay? If it means with Iraq you have to partition it, so be it. We're all paying for the Brits' stupid geometry anyway. So to me, what guys get pissed about at the VA, and you hear it, and you just talked about it, is this. I don't want to be medicated. I want somebody to help me. I want somebody to help me deal with this stuff that I'm dealing with. And I don't know how guys who've never been to combat are involved in that discussion. To me, it's I don't know that you can help somebody that when you don't have anything that even closely is remote to their experience. And so then what happens is, what do? You follow the protocol so you don't get sued. What are the protocols? The protocols are these medications for this diagnosis, and send them to group therapy and anger management counseling, get them a dog, dot, dot, dot. We've done our job. Boom. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I brought that up about the thing about pharmaceuticals is because Chris got invited to come speak and testify in front of Congress about his ability and what actually happened and his story and how he overcame the stuff. And they flew him literally from Washington all the way to Washington, D.C. And the night before he was supposed to speak, they called him and said that he would not be allowed to testify the next day because he had done an internship on Capitol Hill for 6 months. And the bottom line really was, in between the lines, is right. They didn't want to get his testimony out there about what he overcame. Right. He's the only person to ever do that.
No, because what do you do is you turn the whole VA treatment process upside down. And we all know that it's as you said, it's literally killing people, and it's not letting them to return. And that's why this concept of post-traumatic growth is so exciting. Let me read you the email I wanted you to respond to. The email is this. Hey Mac, my question for your guest the next time he comes on is this. Is he a psychologist? Because it sounds like a lot of what he does is psychiatry. Where does this come from? Who is the guy, Tom Kavanaugh, that he mentioned? I'm very curious about this because I had an experience that I got help by a Vietnam veteran. He wasn't anything close to being a psychiatrist or a counselor, but he's helped me so much. I'm just wondering where this all comes from. So are you a psychiatrist?
No, I'm not, and I never plan to be.
Right.
The biggest thing to answer that question, too, and the gentleman's name is Tom Kavanaugh. If you go to newtrainingstrategies.com, you can look Tom up on there. And I think there's probably a video of me talking about one of his classes as well. You can see Chris's videos on there, too. Tom has it called the release method, and it's about releasing the emotions that are associated with past events due to trauma. And you know, the thing about being a psychologist, and it's nothing, again, there's a time and a rhyme and a reason for everything, but the difference in the process and what I do versus what psychiatry do is that somebody comes in a psychiatrist and they have to sit there and talk and tell their story over and over and over again, you know, versus with me. I mean, I worked with a woman just last week, and she had a mental block around going out and making money for herself, of getting her face out in the marketplace, right? And the reason she had a mental block around that was because she had been raped 3 times and had this trauma in the background. Right. That was what's causing her to not want to get her face out in the marketplace, because she was afraid of creating any time she had been a target in the past because of what had happened to her. So she had that mental association with getting her name and face out there in the marketplace and doing any kind of marketing for herself, with the fact that she could possibly get raped again. So subconsciously, that's the stuff that lays down on the deep side of things. And I didn't, all I had to do was kind of hear some hints about her story. I didn't hear any details whatsoever. And by taking her through the process that I did, she was fine after that. And literally the next day she started marketing her business. And I was thrilled, because now she's like, you know, no problem getting in front of people, no problem doing a sales letter and just sending an email out to the people she was going to market her stuff to. And that's how powerful it is. And it's one of those things where a lot of guys who join the military, there's some statistic, and I can't back this up with an article,
right,
but from talking with Tom, and it's something like 60% of guys who get post-traumatic, stress from they've already had it before they got in the military. They just don't even realize it. Just like Chris, he had some kind of traumatic event when he was a child. He brought that into the military, but you're not going to hear about that. Just like you and I both had some problems growing up around like the divorce side of things,
right,
as kids, I brought that anger with me. That didn't just show up, that when I stepped on the yellow footprints, right? It was part of the deal going into it. So those things come with it, and all of a sudden something happens, and it triggers it. And it's like a house of cards in a way. You kind of look at it. And there's guys you'll see, and they'll go on, four or five deployments, and all of a sudden they'll get out of the military, and they've been separated for a few years, and all of a sudden they just crash, and they don't even know why. It's because of all the stuff that's been bottled up and all those different events and things that happened, possibly while they were on active duty, that it just triggers for them.
My guest today is Daryl Hill. We're talking about overcoming barriers, and today we're talking about post-traumatic stress, how he got into that line of business to begin with. Expand on Kavanaugh a little bit. How do you meet Kavanaugh, and where did Kavanaugh learn this? So let me pull the string a little bit, and then we'll talk about what you do and how you do it.
So I met Tom, honestly, the short version of it, I got a number that came in from, it was a 760 number. And for us Marines that have been around Camp Pendleton, that's around Camp Pendleton.
Okay.
So somebody called me and it was a wrong number. And I started talking to the woman on the phone and she needed my help for something else. I started helping her and I served her. And then she helped me out with her sister. I started working with her sister and their sister introduced me to this girl named Katie. And I get on the phone with Katie and we just had kind of an instant connection. And she said, you know what? She's like, you really know your stuff. I was like, you should meet my friend Tom. He's also a Marine. And I was like, awesome. I was like, where is he? He's like, oh, he's here in California. So I was like, sweet. So I reached out to Katie. And I said, you know what? Turns out I'm actually going to be in Orange County in about 2 weeks. Now I live in Maryland, right?
Right.
And she is out in Riverside, California. And I said, turns out I'm actually going to come out there the following week to go to an event. And I said, love to meet you. Love to meet Tom if you guys are available. So Tom came out and we spent like 3 or 4 hours together with first initial meeting. And when he showed up in my life, it was just like, wow, here's the guy that, I've been waiting for to show up in my life and be here to help some massive shifts inside of me. So I met him. We had a discussion, got to know each other, saw what he did, his background and stuff he had been working on. And I was like, wow, this is like fascinating. So we started working together. I was giving him some advice on some marketing, on how to market his business and stuff like that. And then Tom was helping train me and the stuff he was doing. And we just became like really good friends. And I'm like Luke Skywalker and he's like Yoda. That's kind of way it went after that.
Wow.
And, just became just locked at the hip. And he still says today, like, I'm his best student to ever go through his programs. So Tom had been trained on what's called, neuro-linguistic programming. He'd also been trained on hypnosis. He'd also been trained on timeline therapy. He'd also been trained on like a dozen other things related to the mind. The guy literally, so you appreciate this. So he is dyslexic like me with reading. And so reading comprehension for me, if I'm not doing photo reading, is very difficult to retain any information I read. And that was always a challenge of like my whole life. I didn't even realize it until I was like 30 something. Tom turns around and he had taken this photo reading class. So when I went to Tom's house, he probably had over 1,000 books up on his shelf. I mean, like it was like wall to wall, like he just had books and they're all on mindset, leadership, sales, marketing. And he had invested all his time into this. And he got a transpersonal psychology degree, from Huna University, which is out of Hawaii, did training under some of the best hypnotists in the world. The guys that actually teach the CIA how to do all this stuff is that's Tom's exact, mentors. And he is now passing all that information on to me. And that's one of the ways that I get really good at what I do And I've continued to learn from other people, even at Father Tom, as far as like how to do other methods and just get faster and faster, just like anything else, you know, how did Tiger Woods get good at golf? He just went out and played. And that's all I've been doing. I've just been playing.
All right. So, let me take a break. And when we come back, I'll reset this. And what we're talking about is fighting through issues. And in this case, post-traumatic stress. And one of the things that's interesting that you said was, you know, a lot of times combat experiences, and they're certainly traumatic, when they're layered on top of structural flaws, that's what creates somebody being crushed. But you'll have guys who are strong. You'll have guys who have strong foundations, be it faith-based and then reinforced by their family and be it reinforced by their community. They can go through that same experience and not be affected. Now, I know everybody's different in their own way, but I would say that when you see people take their own lives, rarely is it because of simply what happened to them as a result of what they experienced in war. Normally, it's they came in with structural flaws. You add additional stress onto that, and you see the structure crumble. And so I think it's a very interesting and valid point that you make, Daryl. And so let me take a break, and then when we come back, we'll continue this discussion and kind of talk people through like how you help people doing that. So my guest this morning is Daryl Hill. I want to say Daryl Miller, but he's a baseball player. You can find him at darylhill.com, talking about face your fears, break through your bullshit. And if you're in business, monetize your mind. If you're not in business and you're in the military, you can free your mind of that stuff so that you can better focus on being a leader. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
For three generations, Superior Automotive Service has been key to our success at a genuine original, B&N Auto Plaza Sinclair. Greg and Michael Nelson deliver prompt ASE certified service, oil changes and brake jobs, wheel alignments, and of course, market-leading prices on Cooper tires. We proudly announce our all-new fresh coffee and fountain pop pricing. Any size, anytime, only a dollar. B&N Auto Plaza Sinclair, on the way to everywhere since 1959, on the corner of Demers in South Washington.
Hi, Josh Grunberg, General Manager at PS Garage Doors. Don't let winter slow down your renovation projects. Call 772-DOOR today. Our experienced sales and installation teams are available to help you find the perfect style of garage door at the right price. PS Garage Doors has 42 years of experience installing garage doors on your home, business, or farm. We work in any type of weather condition to ensure you don't have to wait until spring. Install a new garage door today. Call 772-DOOR. PS Garage Doors for all your garage door needs. Online at psgaragedoors.com.
I'm good. But I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
For America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO.
You're listening to Mac Talk on the All Warrior Radio Network.
The boss in studio. I want to thank him for coming all the way out here today.
What's up?
Yep, I can hear you, Michael.
All right. We continue. And Daryl Hill continues with us. And all right, let's talk about PTS, because I'm sure people are listening to it, and listening to this and thinking, if it's that easy, man, why aren't more people doing it? Why is this so hard? My therapist is classically trained, and he agrees with everything you would say, and he says, look, we're not dealing with the problem. We're not dealing with the problem, and in order to deal with the problem, you've got to listen, you've got to talk, and you've got to go down those rabbit holes. Sending somebody to group therapy, that's not, you know, that helps them meet people and lets them know that they're not alone. And those are both, you know, good and important things. But you got to get in there and you got to do that work. So, Daryl, talk about how you do what you do.
Absolutely. So, what you brought up there, I just want to touch on.
Sure.
Is there's a point in time to do like group stuff, but one of the things I 100% disagree on, and this is the stuff I learned from Tom, is when somebody walks in, let's take an example like Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, and they stand up and they say, I'm a whatever it is, I don't even want to say the word, you know what the word is, but I'm that, then they're automatically, their subconscious and everything in their mind is telling them that they need to be that person, right? So mm-hmm. Somebody says that I'm the best marksman that's out there, you know, and that's where their mindset's going, then their mind is going to go towards being the best marksmanship out there. You know, the same way if somebody gets up and says, I have XYZ issue or whatever it is, then they're automatically, that becomes their identity. And there's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, that are veterans, that it becomes their identity that I'm a veteran of whatever it is. I'm not even going to say. Because it automatically programs their mind that that's who they are. And that's an old BS story that's basically there. You know, I'm just going to get real, you know, when it comes down to this, is these are stories that people are telling themselves that have like happened in the past around certain things. And the thing about it is you have the ability to unlearn whatever that story is, right? In the sense of you can go back and work through the emotional trauma that was caused from whatever happened. And by doing the emotional trauma work, that story is still going to be the same, but there's not going to be the emotions that are tied to that story for whatever it is. And I'll go through an example like this. So if you're playing, I'm going to use Chris as an example because we've already talked about this.
Okay.
Is with Chris, it was going back to that original domino, which caused them all to fall. Because once that first domino fell down and he looked at things completely differently, then his mind shifted on all the other things that happened going forward. So it was that initial mind shift that happened for him that was then allowed him to look at life completely different perspective. And it was in that moment that he was able to come to terms of like forgiveness behind things that have happened in the past that he frankly had no control over. He had no frankly control over who died or who didn't die on the operating table.
Right.
You know, but he felt responsible and he felt guilt that it actually harbored around all this thing.
Right.
And that was one of the key things, honestly, is forgiveness, you know, for myself, you know, forgiveness for actions possibly that I took, you know, forgiveness for actions that other people actually took. Because if you're allowing negative, you know, energy to sit in there, then it's basically like if you had a cabinet, and if you filled up a jar full of just something nasty, just think of the nastiest, smelliest thing, and you filled it up, and you put that jar up on your shelf, and you filled your pantry cabinet all full of these nasty jars, and you've been doing this for years. Eventually, that cabinet is going to fall over because it's just going to get too crowded,
right. And
it'll just collapse. And when it collapses, that's exactly what happened to Chris when he hit the deck at Disneyland and didn't get up. It's because that last thing that happened just triggered it, and it shattered all those glasses. And now all of a sudden, that smelly stuff was all those past, you know, memories that he was dealing with, and it just left him in a complete mess. And that's often what happens with the post-traumatic stress side of things. And that's very real. That is 100% real. And it's because the mind learns how to deal with something. And a lot of times the mind will learn how to deal with something and it'll shut it off. What I mean by that is if somebody goes through a traumatic experience, the number one thing that your subconscious mind is trained and taught to do is to protect you. So if somebody gets in an essential situation where they're worried about death, or they're worried about falling, or worried about loud noises, or they're worried about possibly a sexual trauma, and these are all things that a lot of times the mind will actually shut off the feelings associated with that event because they're so severe that it causes so much pain that it causes stuff like depression. It causes guilt, which eventually leads to suicide, you know, which leads down the road of anger, which leads to, you know, physical violence out there in the world. You know, it's those things that have happened that are anchored in that are leading people, you know, down that space. And when you come in from I don't know if you're, you know, listeners are Christian or not. I'm very Christian. And if you come in from the perspective of like forgiveness, you know, and I'm not saying you have to respect somebody else, you know, as far as like what they did and, you know, they did stuff that was wrong. It is wrong. And there's no question about that. But if you're harboring any like negative emotion that's sitting there towards that person, you're giving that other person and you're giving that situation control over you.
It's hard because I will tell you that I carried similar, you know, guilt with me. I don't know if it was guilt. It was the anguish of watching somebody die, you know, and doing that whole dance of trying to help them live, watching, you know, all the vivid things that come with that in my head. His jugular vein jumping out of his throat because his body knew, right? His body knew that something had happened. And you're trying as hard as you can to help him live. They're trying as hard as they can not to die, and it doesn't work. You know, too much damage. You can't. And there's, I know that there was nothing else I can do for him. But it leaves a skid mark, man. It leaves a dent. It leaves more than a door ding on your person. And so learning how to deal with that, and I'll tell you what, and this is interesting, and I had this in the back of my mind when I made a previous comment. I think I told you the story about the helicopter crashing in the middle of my assembly area in 29 Palms.
No, you didn't.
No. Well, let me tell you. I'm a company commander, 3rd Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion in 1993. I put together this drug deal with LAB Test Directory over in Yuma that I will take their test, their air defense variant that they're testing to the field with me for 10 days. They can shoot at different targets, you know, and they can test wear and tear, interoperability with us. In exchange, they're going to pay for my gas, let me shoot some of their bullets and any spare parts if I break anything. So it was a good deal for me. So, we go to the field.
we're at the northern part of Wood Canyon, and in our assembly area ops, and this probably saved people's lives. I was, if you could park your vehicle either in Defilade or out in the desert, it's up in one of those little wadis or crevices that come off a larger wadi. Back it in there, put the cami nets that we had on the side, extend them out, pin them in, you know, and be hard to kill, as General Mattis would say. So that was just a part of what we did. My vehicle was sitting in the center of the wadi in a clump of trees. So I get ready to, we're all out there. My exit says, so we're ready. I start getting ready to issue my order. I'm in the back of my C-square vehicle, and I have a dry erase board, so I'm just kind of putting some finishing touches on the order that I'm going to go through on the dry erase board. And I look down the wadi, stick my head up because the top's open, I look down the wadi, and I see dust. And I look at my XO, and I said, what is that? You said everybody was here, Dad. And he said, the lieutenant said they were all here, sir. I don't know. And with that, I see the top of a rotor. And he was kicking up dust coming up the canyon. That's how low he was. 7 feet off the ground were his skids. And doing whatever, 120 knots. And so they come flying up, which when I think back on it now, really pisses me off. Because if he doesn't see one of my vehicles, he'd broadside my vehicle. Okay, and kill somebody. But anyway, I say to my XO, Dan Hicks, I said, I've never seen anybody fly this low in my life. With that, he comes kind of around a turn. There's a big creosote bush, so he goes to fly between the creosote bush and the canyon wall, and he clips the side of the canyon wall, maybe by a foot or two. No, it wasn't a gigantic mark. It was just by maybe a foot. That sends his nose down. It hits and bounces, and it bounces up in the air. It rotates until it's almost upside down, and it crashes 175 meters from me, right as I'm watching it. And I literally could not believe it. And, you know, I tell Dan, tell Bear Matt, somebody's down. You know, we have a catastrophic helicopter down. Send a medevac right away. And so, what do you do? Like, is it going to blow up? Do we run? Well, there's Marines in there. So you just say, I've got to go. And so you go into the helicopter, and the pilot's decapitated, the co-pilot's crushed to death. Sergeant and a corporal that went along for the ride that day were thrown from were in the crash and thrown from it. They're still alive. We're trying to save them. And so they, you know, we get them on the medevac birds, and Sergeant's name is Peter Bazzarini. And so I'm working on him. My corpsman couldn't even function. He had never seen anything like this. And I said, Doc, I need something to suction the blood. So he has blood and tissue and all kinds of stuff clogging his airway. I'm trying to pull it out. And so the doc comes down and he jumps down next to me. I said, I need something to suction the blood out of his throat. And the doc, he starts to put in an IV. And I said, Doc, stop, look at me. And I reached over and I grabbed him by the T-shirt. And I said, look at me. Give me something to suction something. And after, I don't know, he looks and he says, sir, I don't have anything. And I said, okay. So anyway, we tried to help Sergeant Bazzarini. We get him on the medevac. He dies en route, and the corporal died en route to the hospital. And so crushing, right? I mean, now you got to go find, you know, the head and, you know, you got to deal with the remains and all that kind of stuff. So my gunny comes up, Lance Y, high school educator, right? And later on, and he looks at me and he says, I'm sitting on a couple crates of ammunition. And you know how pretty it is out in the desert in the fall? You know, sun's going down. It might be in the high 80s, low 90s, and it's absolutely beautiful in the evening. So it's kind of that situation. And he says to me, how are you doing, Skipper? And I looked up from my little perch and I said, you know, I don't know. Probably one of the blessings is I haven't really thought about that today. You know, I've been worried about other people and some of our guys have had a tough time with this. And he looked at me and he said, you know, you're never getting over this. And I said, I looked up and I said, what'd you just say? He said, you know, you're never getting over this. And I said, and I looked at him and this is verbatim. I'm not exactly fucking sure, but I'm pretty fucking sure that the fucking therapist doesn't say that to the fucking patient right about fucking now. So why don't you get the fuck away from me? Right?
I probably would have met him with a fist.
Which would not raise an
eye. Good either.
That's just like normal conversation. Although coming from the company commander to first sergeant, gunner sergeant, probably would have been met with a raised eyebrow. Anyway, he looks at me and he says, "No, you need to know that." I said, "Why? Where the hell did you get that?" And he said, "I got that from guys who were in Vietnam." He said, "I went through something," and he said, "I heard about what you did today." And he said, "I didn't do anything. I wasn't involved in anything close to this." And he said, "It'll bother you for the rest of your life. There'll be smells. There'll be things you see. There'll be, for me, bagels. There was bagels sitting next to Sergeant Brad Giorini's left knee, his lunch probably, that remind me of him. The sound of a Huey reminds me of them." And he said, but he was right. He said, "It'll remind you. And when it happens, just know it's okay. You're a human being. You can't go through this without it sticking to you." And those words I gave to my sister, that people are going to tell you that time heals all wounds, when her two sons were murdered, I said, "That's bullshit. This is going to hurt. And when it hurts, just know it's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You can't go through these things without them bothering you. And when it does, it's okay to cry. And then when you're done crying, wash your face off. And, you know, for we Marines, tell everybody you have allergies." And that was the source of it. And
my eyes are sweating.
Yeah, my eyes are sweating. And then get your ass in there and go do your job, because other people depend on you. They need you. And although you're not going to get over it, we'll help you to learn to live with it, because that's what everybody else is doing. They're not getting over it. And those words for me, Daryl, I've given them in Iraq and Afghanistan countless of times. I had a chaplain come up to me and say, "Are you Major McNamara?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" And he said, "Do I owe you money?" And he said, no. Are you the one that tells these Marines that they're never getting over this experience?" And I said, "Yeah, you got a problem with that?" And I'm not sure why I was so combative with the chaplain, but I was. And so he said, "No." He said, "I've started using it." I said, "Well, the only thing I ask of you is footnote it. It comes from a gunnery sergeant by the name of Lance Y. And make sure you give him credit." And because chaplain, I sat down and had a conversation with him. I said, "Chaplain, I never really thought about it until more recently, until I've used it so much." And I said, "And so what I would tell you is this, this was the oral tradition of how we dealt with, post-traumatic stress in the Marine Corps. There was no PTSD diagnosis or anything for those guys, right? There was none of that for them. And so what did they do? How did they deal with it? Well, they dealt with it. They dealt with it by taking care of each other. That's how they dealt with it. So I found that, you know, very interesting. And I loved it because it's real. And I know, where did the Vietnam veterans get that stuff? Well, they got it from the guys from Korea in World War II. Where did they get that? Probably from the guys from World War I and fighting down in Latin America. Because that's how you knew, or that's how you learned how to deal with this stuff. And so the things that you say, I know to be true in my life. I've lived them, and other Marines have found solace in them. And so they're, in my opinion, they're the timeless lessons that we have taught each other. The problem is we don't tend to take people there as often as we should. We tend to medicate them, and I don't really get that. I don't really get how the VA comes to the conclusion that this is the best way to do it. I know it's based on the American Psychiatric Society or Association and their protocols, blah, 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 which is all based on insurance. I get it, but it certainly is frustrating when I hear you. And let me tell you, I know Ron Baskowski. I've known him since I was a second lieutenant. He's a great guy. When a guy like Ron Baskowski says, "Hey, Mac, you need to talk to this guy," you know, it's like, stop what you're doing, pivot, and find out what he's talking about, because it's important. And so, and it's not that, and again, I don't talk it. You know, I've lived this, you know, this thing's bothering you, you know, with your kids. At Memorial Day, you know, "Mom,
why does Taps make Dad cry? Having those conversations with your kids and being honest with them. Why does that song make me cry? Why do I hate the song Eternal Father? You know, it's a part of all these different snapshots in my head. And when the movie starts to play, I can't shut it off. I try as hard as I can, but I've learned how to surf it, though.
Let's talk about that movie for a second. You're talking about playing. Right. One of the techniques and things that I've been trained on how to do is help people go back. And when they watch the movie, they're able to take the lessons away from the movie and release the emotions that have been associated with it. And that's really the key, is when you're able to go back to an event and see that event, just as, like, let's say you're looking at an event. And that's what I always do with people, some scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? Person's like, I'm out of 10, this still drives me nuts. And I was like, all right, well, when we're finished, you'll be out of 1. And people are like, yeah, right, whatever. You know, and I take people through the process, just like we did work together last week. And by the end of it, they're like, oh, I can see, I don't have any the negative emotions anymore. It's just kind of like there. It's just like an event that happened in my life. And that is possible for everybody that's out there. Because your mind learns something at one point that you have the ability to unlearn. And the event is not going to change. The person's not going to come back to life. You know, that you're not going to be able to have those emotions anymore. And that's really the key thing with doing it, is getting those negative emotions that are in there. The could I have done something else? You know, could have my karma been like more prepared in this sense? You know, could I have issued a different order? You know, as commanders, there's a lot of officers out there that have issued orders, and then guys have gone and passed away, and they hold themselves responsible and like have survivor's guilt because they literally gave an order and Marines died. And they're like, man, if I hadn't have done that, if I would have planned better or done something, I was like, you know what? Everybody on this call and guys that I know are Marines, they do the best job they can possible every single time that's out there. Otherwise, they don't do it. You know, and that's where, like, when I did work, you know, with my Marines and stuff like that, that's what I expected. And that's what I expected of myself. And if the second I'm not doing that, take me, you know, out and shoot me. You know, that's my philosophy when it comes to that.
And getting them to understand that, look, you're operating with maybe half the information, maybe a third, maybe less, that you need to make a great decision that wasn't in the cards that day. Right. This is what you knew, right? Don't talk to me about what reality was, because we didn't know that then. When you made the decision, right? And then the enemy's got a vote too. You know, we can't, you know, so, but, you know, when you hear Jeremiah Workman talk about his Navy Cross and the anguish you hear in his voice, you know, and you hear him say, I don't want that thing. I don't need that thing. I don't deserve that thing. All I want is those three guys back. When you hear the emotion and the power in his voice articulating that, which that he lives with every day, you know, because he says, you know, in the interview, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about something I could have done different in that fight, that might have got those guys, give them a chance to live. And, you know, and I mean, that's incredibly, incredibly powerful stuff about living with this. So I just got an email. So what are we talking about here? When you take them down this road, like you did with me the other night, you know, talking about why I hate sales, is it simply asking the question, why? Why do you feel like that? Till you get to the ultimate bedrock truth about where this is coming from? And as you said, relative to your guy at Disneyland collapsing, that wasn't obviously solely a response to the fireworks. It was the crushing weight of all these things that have built up, and then this thing triggers that reaction. So when you tell people how you peel it back, ultimately, what are you trying to get to?
So the biggest thing is, what if you look at, we'll just like pick one emotion, right? Let's look for guilt for you, and I'll just do this exercise.
Okay.
So if I said to you right now, first of all, you're not allowed to say I don't know.
Okay.
Because a lot of times that's a gut reaction people have. And once you take words that normally they use as defense mechanisms, then they can't use those words anymore, and they have to actually think, right? So I've asked you, when's the first time you ever had guilt in your life?
Wow.
The first time I can recall having guilt. It's too many years, man. I'm going through. I'm 59 years old. That's a lot of
all the way back.
That's a lot of data points.
A lot of data. Yeah, you gotta find it. First time you remember.
I got hit by a car, and I got when I was I don't know, I was probably less than 8, and I felt bad because I scared the hell out of my mom and dad. And in fact, my dad spanked me after I got hit by a car for scaring the shit out of him. Probably the first time. Well, no, I was playing. I don't want to paint myself as a bad kid because I wasn't, but I was an amateur pyromaniac.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
My grandmother, she just had a bunch of candles and I was like at her house and stuff. And like, what are you doing in here? Those burning candles and stuff.
No, man. I was, I turned the gas on and lit it on fire. I didn't really know how to shut it off, so I poured water on it.
How old were you?
I don't know. I mean, I was like 7 or something. So okay, I poured water on it to put it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't go over well with my father.
Yeah.
And so, probably.
How'd it go over with your dad? What happened there?
Oh, he spanked the shit out of me.
Yeah. So that's the first time you remember you feeling guilty about something you did.
Yeah, that's as I look back. I mean, there's probably other things, but you know I had no notion of what gas could explode the house. You know, I was just getting my pyro on.
I gotcha. So that's the first thing you remember. Then the next thing you remember getting hit by a car, and you got spanked as well doing that, and probably got up by your dad.
Yeah, I did. He yoked my ass up. He was up on the roof. And he heard the car skid and hit something, and he heard it hit my bike. I was on my bike. It hit my bike and launched me, I don't know, 20 feet in the air. But I was a nimble kid, you know. I hit and rolled. And so
let's look back at the first story, right? And I don't want you to talk about the story. I want you to talk about what are the emotions that showed up when you look back at that story right now. The original story about almost lighting the house on fire or burning it down.
Well, my emotion is stupid, you know, a stupid kid. Okay. You know?
Stupid kid, what else?
That I disappointed my father.
Okay, so you disappointed your father, you're a stupid kid.
Yeah.
You also got the negative reinforcement. That part didn't go too good.
You know, I did, you know, look, I got that, I mean, on a regular basis. I look back on it, getting spanked, didn't bother me. I deserved it, for God's sake.
It wasn't part of that, but that causes, like, the fear side of things. Like, emotion is around that.
Getting spanked?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't, you know, I was, like, I'm never afraid of my parents. Look, when I got spanked, I straight up deserved it. So, it's like, when I think about that, that's not, I don't feel that emotion. I feel like I deserve that. And
you're subconscious on that side of it. That's, it's one of those things of, like, you know, it's subconsciously it messes with you, whether you realize it or not. You're consciously speaking to me about this situation.
Yeah.
But the subconscious side of things is your body wants to protect you from physical harm.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not stupid.
Well, nobody said you were.
Okay.
But when you talk about your body, your subconscious, its prime directive is to protect you from physical harm. And the things that you learned that day, that anytime you did stuff like out in the future. So if you look back at this instance, you felt stupid at the time. You said, what were the other things you were talking about?
I disappointed my father.
Disappointed father.
Yeah.
What else?
Those are the two overwhelming ones. Yeah. Those two. Disappointing my father. I mean, he was, you know, my dad was in baseball and he did something that nobody else did. And he was just, you know, a guy on a pedestal for me. And so, you know, to disappoint him, and to hear him say those words, like, I can't tell you how disappointed I am in you. I mean, that's crushing for a kid, or any subordinate that somebody, a leader would say that to. But when the exalted place that I had my own father placed on, it probably, you know, probably even more so.
So when you look back on that now, like, that's the original beginning for you to understand how to actually create guilt in your life.
Yes.
And that's the same guilt. The same way you created guilt that day is the same way you create guilt today. Like, if something happened later on in life, if we look at a situation, those same things are coming up for you. And that's where the pattern comes in. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So as we go back, we would reprogram your mind around how you feel about guilt, right, in that situation. And then once we do it in that situation, then we would move forward all the way from 7 back to 59. And at that point, you would not look at guilt the same way anymore. And it would shift how the emotions and the feelings and the underlying stuff that's actually done. That's how the process works.
Let me read you an email. Kind of interesting. Hey, Mac, I'm listening, and I want to ask a question that you guys have been kind of nudging around, and that is this. Why doesn't the VA go to a system where they actually deal with our problems? It seems to me a much better way, and really the only way. Is it too difficult? Why won't they help us? I heard the same thing almost, I won't say verbatim, but it was the same types of discussion with the guests you've had on from Boulder Crest Retreat. And they talk about the guys that they've helped. I just don't get it. Daryl, is there a rationale? Is it a rational reason why?
Let me share you a quick story on that. So a good friend of mine, she was a doctor, she's an MD, she also practices Chinese medicine, and she went to go work at the VA. And she was helping veterans out by not prescribing them medication. She was giving them proper diet and proper things to do for their body.
Right.
And these guys were coming to her and they were getting help.
Right.
And she would do checkups with them and they're doing great. And she's not having to provide like all these prescriptions to them. So she got brought into a meeting and they said, well, you know, wow, your patients are doing great, but they're not taking any prescriptions. What are you doing that's so different? And she told them. And she told them how she's helping them just, you know, changing their diet up by testing them on all these different things that she knows how to do. And they said, well, you know, that doesn't work with us. And she's like, well, if that doesn't work for you guys, then it doesn't work for me and I won't be working here anymore. And it was because she knows how to really help people, and she can't, as a doctor, you know, if you know how to do it, you're not just going to prescribe somebody medications that really don't need medications. And the only thing I have to say about it, it comes down to the bottom line, it's money. You know, because the medical industry deems to lose millions and millions and trillions of dollars, really billions of dollars, if the information I'm sharing with you guys right now really got out. Because they wouldn't need all the prescription medications that goes on all these things. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's a cure-all or it's going to take care of everything that's out there. I don't even say it's a cure. Because all of a sudden I'd have the FTC and everybody show up at my house and try to arrest me for saying something, right? So, I mean, I just talk about the results that people get, you know, when it really comes down to it.
My guest is Daryl Hill, and we're talking about post-combat related mental health. We're talking about fighting through barriers and how you do that and how he helps people and how he helps people do that. I, again, the reason it resonates with me so much is I, like you, I've been the recipient of it. I benefited from it. And he was a high school educated guy who was passing down the oral tradition of mental health in the Marine Corps. That's what he was doing with me. And it was, the best piece of advice I've ever got, arguably in my life. And I can't say thanks to Lance Y enough.
Gunny was absolutely right when he said that. If I asked you right now, where were you when you heard about 9/11 or saw 9/11? Could you tell me right now?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So that memory is burned in your mind, just as it's burned out into everybody else's mind who came in association with that. That is a result of a traumatic event that has happened here in our country, just like Pearl Harbor happened. You know, back in the day as well. People remember where they were at Pearl Harbor when it happened. It's the same thing with 9/11. And your gunny is absolutely right. about that it'll always be with you, and it will always be with you. The difference is you can release the emotions that are associated with that event that happened, and that's how you move forward.
But I want to be I want to be specific here, and because I know guys will listen to this. The road to that is not through prescription medicine and group therapy. Those can help, but if you don't deal with the core issues that are causing this, if you don't deal with that, if you don't have a therapist or somebody that's helping you get to those, and you just heard Daryl do it, If you don't have somebody that's doing that, then you're not near the solution.
Only people focus on those things like Band-Aids. You know, they're talking about something that happened like recently or something like that.
Right. You're dealing with the symptoms.
Yeah.
And the symptoms aren't going away. The symptoms aren't going away until you get after the symptoms and deal with the symptoms. And if you don't deal with the symptoms, then they're not going away. And that's the thing, I guess, that's so frustrating. And I had a similar conversation, with my therapist about this. Why aren't there more guys like you? Cause he told me, he said, you know, you're pretty lucky, because most guys aren't like me. They're not classically trained in this system, so they don't do this. They'll sit here and listen, and they'll have a conversation with you, but you'll be prescribed the appropriate medications, and then you'll be, you know, you'll go to group. I said, why? He said, that's how we do it. That's how the VA does it. I said, damn, that sucks, man. That absolutely sucks. And so my message, you know, and I want, after, you know, everybody hearing Daryl talk about this, my message is this: if you're not getting that, go find it. Go find it. And there's people that can help you find it. You know, I'm sure Daryl has a network of people that he deals with. You can hit him up on his website. But get that help, because otherwise, you know, again, it's like not dealing with the domestic violence perpetrator. You know, the stream of women going through that is not going to change. It's only when you affect him do you spare the next 10 women that experience. And so it's only when you address your symptoms, the root causes of your symptoms, that's when you get after it, not dealing with the symptoms.
Yeah, and you look at some people, and they'll go out, and they'll be like, and this is not even veteran-related, but they'll get divorced. And I talked to somebody the other day, and they're working on they're about to get married for the fourth time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and they've got all kind of issues. They got, you know, just glaring that they need to deal with. I was like, and he's married a military guy too. So I just feel, his army guy. So I feel bad for that guy because, I mean, it's just a track record this woman already has. Right. And I'm not saying that it has to be that way. I'm not saying it has to be the fourth time might be the charm for her.
Right.
But at the same time, there's obviously issues that she hasn't dealt with. They're going to come up again and again. And until you go back and deal with those original issues, whatever they were, and it could be stuff that happened way before the military, you know, and so many times people have focused on military stuff that might have nothing to do with it. I had a friend of mine, my best friend, his twin brother committed suicide. And the reason he committed suicide, he was a Marine as well, a Marine officer, nothing to do with when he was in the military. It was stuff that happened well before when they were kids and stuff that happened and he just never overcame.
I want to talk about that real quick. There is a sickness, but it is a bit of a sickness. And I would call it like this in the military, in the Marine Corps. Let me speak only to the Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a whose dick is bigger thing. Somebody kills themselves, and the first thing that ensues is a discussion of, hey, who was that guy? Where did he get to deploy to, right? And he's a quote-unquote combat vet. What year? Because we all kind of know what happened in what years and where we were, Iraq, Afghanistan, things like that. So he was a logistics guy at Camp Victory in 2009, and he killed himself. That's bullshit. And that's what you'll hear guys say. He doesn't rate to kill himself. And so screw him. He's just weak. And the problem is, and I'll tell you, those are conversations. Because, look, there's guys who I think Marines would tell you, based on their experience in combat, they you would understand if they took their own life. The stuff that guy's seeing, that's...
See, I'll call, you know...
Bullshit?
Same, yeah, Bush on that. And
hold
exactly
on, let me finish calling bullshit.
I agree with what you're saying in the sense of, like, but the guys out there who's saying that that guy's a pussy or that guy is something that, you know, he can't handle it and he doesn't rate killing himself or whatever, I call BS on that, because there's Marines out there that are in the 4th Marine Division who had to call up guys from the IRR, guys that have been out of the military, you know, separated, had beards, full 9 yards, got called in, brought them in, got them into units, sent them over to Afghanistan, sent them over to Iraq, and guys did not come home. And those Marines at those 4th Marine Division that are doing the admin paperwork are the ones having to call the families and bring these guys in. They remember when those guys don't come back, and they have to notify the families and deal with all that kind of stuff. That leaves a mark. And that person may have never stepped foot outside of the United States, but that leaves a mark.
But you know the discussion I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I agree with you. But and so what you the longer you're around this issue, and initially, you know, we all go through this once, you know, and it'd be nice if, you know, somehow or other we could store the experience, and it could be saved in its collective. But everybody goes through this once. So the more you see it, and the more you talk to people, and the more you learn about it, in every one of those cases, much like your friend at Disneyland, it wasn't, you know, that was a part of a larger mosaic that created this event. And when you look at that event, you have to see it in that context. People want to draw a straight line between combat experience and that suicide. And I would say that it's rarely that simple. And so it's the underlying foundation that really contributes mightily to those situations, at least in my experience. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. You know, and it's an epidemic out there, and it's one of those things where Chris actually did a paper. This is back before, you know, 22 a day was even a thing. And he wrote this paper at the University of out there in Washington he was at. And it was about veterans, how they were taking their lives at 22 veterans a day. We're taking their lives, and statistically, that's what they had to prove.
Right.
But it's the number is actually a lot larger because those are the ones they can actually document.
Right.
You know, and that's my passion, and with doing the work that I do, it's ultimately because I want to help as many veterans that are out there as possible. Because I've lost 2 Marines that were in my old platoon to suicide. You know, and it's one of those things where it's like it keeps me up. You know, in the sense of like the stuff that I know I can help people with. Please reach out to me. I will help you. I will do whatever it takes to get you the things you need or whatever it is. Go through the website. Reach out to me. You can listen to Gunny Curtis Jones and his story about, you know, he literally would black out in public, you know, and go into rage monster mode type things. And this was a lethal guy, 20 years, Force Reconnaissance, worked in the CIA, worked in FBI. I mean, like, he's a pretty lethal dude. So you don't want that guy going into a rage monster. So it's there. It's something that keeps me up. And when I say that, I mean, like, I want to know, like, how can we get that number to zero? You know, that's my philosophy is like, you know, no Marine left behind.
Right.
And there's so many guys that are out there right now and they're struggling. If you're listening to this and you want some help, please, I'm telling you right now, reach out and I will do as best as I can possible, everything I can do to help you.
How do they get a hold of you?
Just go to DarylHood.com and go to the contact page. That's it. All my information's right there.
All right. DarylHill.com. And it's DarylHill.com. Not two. Just so you know. And the smart thing to do is, you know, when you Google something, normally they spell check you, okay? So so go ahead and do it that way as well if you can't find it. One more email. Hey, Mac. I'm sitting here listening. I'm sitting here listening, and
you guys have made me stop and rethink much of what I've felt for a lot of years. And I just wanted to thank Daryl for coming on today. I think that we need more of this kind of conversation. Where in the hell else would we hear it except on programming like Almarine Radio? Mac, thanks to you for setting this up. Thanks to guys like Bob Nielsen for pushing this and keeping it on the air and making it happen. And really want to say thank you, because I now know where the truth lies for me in terms of living a better life. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Love the program this morning. How many times have you heard that?
You know, it never gets old.
Never gets old.
That almost brings me to tears just hearing that.
No, but you know, it is.
I swear.
you know, I love that part of us, though. You know, and when you know, and I'll give you another conversation. Chasing a mortarman in Fallujah, Reserve Battalion, I think 1st Battalion, 25th Marines.
Up in
the Boston area. They have an 8-vehicle patrol out. The mortar is detected by our counter-battery radar. So we have a grid coordinate within seconds. They split into 2 4-vehicle sections and pursue the vehicle. And it was a white opal. They pursue the vehicle. They see the vehicle, right? Marines get out, and now they're running. And the vehicles are moving, they're running. That's 4 of them. There's another 4, you know, that are looking for them. So they get out of this, the shitheads get out of this white opal, and so the Marines are running them. They pursue. The second 4-vehicle section comes around a corner, sees the white vehicle, know that something's going on. Now, the lead elements have sent 3 Marines back to the vehicle. Marine sticks his rifle in the passenger side door and hops in, and they said, drive the car over here. The other 2 Marines are kind of in a doorway. These Marines, now the other 4 Marine vehicles come around the corner. They see the white opal, and they see it headed towards Marines, right? And what do they do? Exactly. They engage the vehicle. Thank God that it's shut off before anybody's even wounded or killed. And when all the dust settles, now they turn and they look down the street, is a bike and something behind the bike. So they take off running, and 13-year-old kid shot in the head. Stopped to watch, stopped to look to see what was going on. Now somebody's got their thumb in the kid's head, right? And they're screaming for the corpsman. All of that. So you got to come on, you got to save him. So the doc, you know, doc runs over, got his unit 1, and he hops down and he says, take your hand out, take your finger out. And now he tends to the kid, and he just looks up, he closes the kid's eyes, and he says, he's dead, there's nothing we could do. And with that, this crushing, here's a 13-year-old kid. Every one of them has been a 13-year-old kid on their bike. Most of them would have stopped and looked too, right? And now they've killed him. And, you know, the anger associated with that. So I crossed paths with one of those Marines maybe a week later. I heard he was having nightmares and couldn't sleep. So I see him and I said, hey, what's going on? And he said, nothing, sir, how are you? I said, I hear you can't sleep. I hear you have nightmares. And he looked at me. Now, he's a corporal, I'm a major. He said, sir, how did you hear that? Like, it's not words, that's just not supposed to migrate to my planet. And I said, don't worry about it. I said, I know people. And he said, yeah. I said, sit down. And I said, do you ever watch History Channel? And he said, oh, yes, sir, I love that stuff. I said, you ever see those guys, you ever see those pussies from World War II? I said, they're still crying about that shit 65 years later. I said, do you think you're going to get over this anytime soon? And he just looked at me, and I said, you think you're fucked up, don't you? And he said, I don't know. I don't know. And I looked at him, and I said, well, you are fucked up. Just like all the rest of us. And with that, he starts laughing, right? Because, you know, everybody's, what you're supposed to say is, you're not fucked up. Well, when you hear the exact opposite, it makes you feel better. You are fucked up.
It's true.
Just like every guy who's ever fought for their country. And, but the upside is, we're going to help you learn to live with it. Okay? Because there's going to be people, and they're well-intentioned, they're going to say shit like time heals all wounds, that there's a purpose in this, that God wanted this, you know? And just know this, all of that is bullshit. They don't know what to say, so they're filling up blank space and making themselves feel good by telling you bullshit. And then you're left, when they walk away, thinking, well, was there a purpose in this? You know, does time heal all wounds? You know, and then I looked at him and I said, God has not invented the time to heal this one. And so then normally if there's a senior enlisted guy in the area, because I do this on a fairly regular basis. Hey, Gunny, come here. You ever have nightmares? You ever have bad dreams? No, sir, I'm good to go. And I look at whoever I'm talking to like, hey, tough guy, huh? Pretty good. And Gunny's like, anything else, sir? I said, no. And I said, oh, yeah, one more thing. Tell the truth. He's like, all the time. And then the kid smiles, right? I said, okay, that's what I needed. Thank you. Thanks for making me try for that a second time. And so I looked at him and I said, so when you cry, and it's going to make you cry, just, you know, cover your face, you know, go to your room, whatever you can do, tell people it's allergies, wipe your face off, and come out and do your job, because we're Marines, okay? We're not pussies. And this is part of your life for the rest of it, and we'll help you live with it. And anytime you need anybody to talk to, just come in here and talk. And trust me, all these guys, senior to you, they're dealing with it. All right, two and three combat tours, they're certainly dealing with it. So don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid. And you know what? I hear from those guys still. Hey, sir, just wanted to say, hey, how you doing? Blah 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 blah. And it's the best, as you know. And I do it on my own, in my own ghetto ass, you know, very pedestrian way. I don't have your skills and knowledge, but I know your truth. And I know that the way to a better life isn't through medication, right? And I know that group therapy is good because it helps you network. It helps you know that you're not alone and that other people have these problems. But I also know that until you talk about the demons, until you go down those rabbit holes, it doesn't work. And the beginning of that is to open that up to people, tell them the truth, that they are fucked up, that they can learn to live with it. But you got to stay connected and you got to work at it. And I think if you do that, it is truly the path to the better way. And Daryl, you're doing it like few people. You and the people that do alternate things are to me that are peer to peer. Also, there's incredible power, you being an infantry officer, so you can speak it because you come from that tribe. You know, you're a powerful medicine man in our tribe. So I'm all about it.
And I've done my share of sweating eyes.
No, it's part of the gig. You can't do it.
It's part of the deal.
You can't do it. I called Peter B., the kid who died, the sergeant kid. The sergeant who died in the helicopter crash, I called his dad 9 years after it happened.
Yeah.
And he said to me, and he didn't understand. He thought I was with the squadron or something. I said, no, I was on the ground when he crashed. And his father's name, Primo Bazzarini, and he's from Connecticut, firefighter his whole life. I said, you know, I was with your son when he died, and I've always wondered, do you want to know what happened? Because, you know, you don't know. I mean, you know, somebody could have said, you know, no, thank you for the phone call. And the first thing he said to me was, that was 9 years ago. You still think about my kid? I said, there's probably not a day that goes by in my life that I don't think about your kid. And I said, I only spent 20 minutes with him. I said, but, you know, I'll never forget him. And I said, and so I said, but I have a favor for you. I said, I don't know anything about him other than his rank and, you know, where he's from. I said, could you tell me about him? You know, could you send me, you know, I'd like to at least get to know him since I spend so much time with him. And he was awesome. He was awesome. And let me tell you the end of the story. And he said, no, I want to know what happened. The thing that moved me was how hard he's trying to live. And how courageous he was. And I told his dad that. I said, as a father of two sons, I said, I thought you might want to know. So I don't hear from him for probably 3 months. And I thought, you know, that's really odd. Somebody who would be that moved by what I did that didn't follow through. And then I get this handwritten letter in the mail, and with pictures in of Peter that I still have today. And he told me, he lives in Connecticut. He said, "Mike, I feel really bad. I haven't contacted you. My daughter, who lives in Los Angeles, had some issues, so I had to fly out there. I intended to drive to North Dakota to meet you, to say thank you to you for what you did for my wife and I. To know, what'd he say? To know that he was with Marines and that they did their best gives us great peace." I want to say he was in his 70s when he wrote it, right? He was going to drive to North Dakota from Connecticut to meet me to do that. And one of the things it reinforces, one of the things that I used to teach at IOC was the decision-making class. And one of the things that I used to teach in that class was, what does special trust and confidence really mean? And it's your bond with the American people, the lives that get put in our hands, and you have to be up to that. And, you know, that a 72-year-old man would get in his car to drive two-thirds of the way across the country to meet me because I was with his son. And I'm not surprised by it, but it's a constant reminder to me, it always has been, the undying love of a parent for their child and the incredible responsibility that we have as leaders in a life-and-death business to be good leaders. Because when we're not good, you know, people get killed and impacts other people's lives forever. So, I don't even know how I got on that little rant. So, no, but that is, that's kind of the long-winded story about my ghetto-ass therapy sessions and how I know that the things you say are true by all these different experiences in my life, some in combat, some not. That talk about, if you don't talk about it, if you don't get to the root issues, and it just seems to me institutionally we're not there. And that's why, to everybody listening, to the guy who sent that email, all right, go get the help that you need. And it isn't in a drug bottle, okay?
No.
And it's not in a group session. You know, if you need those things, nobody looks down on any of that. But that is a default response of the Veterans Administration to our collective pain and suffering. And I would tell you, it's not always the correct approach. I would tell you most often it's not the correct approach. Deal with your issues and go from there. Be healthy, right? Be physically fit. And that, you know, we all know how much that contributes to your mental fitness. And then go from there. And it's guys like Daryl that are doing stuff that moves. Ron Baskowski has lived with that shit since October 23rd, 1983. He's lived with that burden. That's a long time. When a guy like that says, "Hey, man, he helped me," that's a powerful medicine, man. So what else? First of all, another email. You have to get Kavanaugh, Chris, and that gunny on the program. Can you help make that happen?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Okay. All right. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you that you need people to know?
Well, first of all, Mike, I just appreciate you sharing your story there. It's very powerful. And
go ahead. Don't make me that guy again. I hate that.
You're that guy again.
No, but, you know, it is powerful. And, you know, and the funny part of it was I'm trying to track down Peter Bazzarini, and I thought he lived in Illinois. And so it's, you know, with the advent of the internet, you know, I'm clinking around on it, and I see this Primo Bazzarini, and the name didn't match anywhere else. So I thought, well, maybe it's a relative. I'll call him to see if he can direct me to his family. So I call, man answers the phone. I said, "Sir, excuse me for bothering you. My name is Mike McNamara." I said, "I used to be a captain in the Marine Corps, and 9 years ago in October, there's a sergeant by the name of Bazzarini that was killed. I'm looking for his family. Do you know where I could find him?" And he says, "You're talking to his father." And I wasn't ready to go through the look. You know, I was still like mentally, I was like,
getting ready and get the phone number, then I'll prepare what I'm going to say. And then I was like Alice through the looking glass. Yeah. And I was even, it was impromptu the day it happened. But, you know, it's, you know, and I've always felt better, good about that. Because I think when I do go near those dragons, it for whatever reason, it always tends to get better. It always tends to get better. So, anyway, so that's the general question is,
one piece of advice for doing something like that around something that's happened to you or it's around something that happened to somebody is going through that radical forgiveness side of things. And it's a three-step process that I walk people through. And I was going to walk you through that with the sergeant you're talking about right now, I'd say the first thing is you're basically in a way, sit down, you know, close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and just really just look at that individual and just say, listen, I'm sorry for whatever happened, you know, whatever it is on that side of it, you know, will you forgive me for whatever happened at that point? You know, then you need to forgive yourself for carrying that burden and putting yourself through hell for, you know, like Ron talked about, since all the way from 1983, and causing all the stress and anxiety and pain and lashing out possibly that you've done over the years because of whatever it is. And then simply having a conversation back with that individual and asking them, you know, saying, listen, I forgive you for whatever happened in that circumstance on that side of it. And just clearing that emotion associated with the event. And it's a super powerful when you go through that process.
Right.
And there's a book called Radical Forgiveness that you can pick up and you can read the 300 pages or, you know, schedule a time and I'll walk you guys through it. So that's the bottom line is that process right there. Just going through that releases all that and having those conversations and healing that. When I first did that with my mom, that I had just anger ever since I was a child, and she would do stuff and it would get me upset and I didn't even know why, you know. And when I went through that process with her emotionally, she wasn't in front of me at the time, but I went through that process on my own. And then I sat down and did it in person, just like you're doing it. I ended up having a 3-hour conversation with her. And I had never had a 3-hour conversation with my mom my whole life without getting in an argument of some sort.
Right.
And shifted everything for me. And now we have a better connection. And as she's grown older now at this point, and, you know, she's at a point health-wise, she could die any day. So it's one of those things of giving myself that ability to have that conversation with her. It's a lot easier to have a tough conversation when somebody's alive than it is when they're dead.
That's why we bring him on, folks, for insight like that. And he's not afraid to give it, so, yeah. It's a lot easier when they're alive than when they're dead. And too often we want to have them when they're dead. Anything else that you need to to tell us before we part company today?
No, I say I just reach out if I can be any service to any Marines that are out there or veterans or, you know, I've dealt with a lot of women as well that have had traumatic situations around abuse. And just by simply having conversation with them really freed them up from stuff. I mean, this, people that have been, you know, molested as children, a lot of times that'll leave like a pretty nasty effect as people grow up. And, you know, unfortunately I've helped a lot of women around that kind of stuff. And, that's something I'm also passionate about is just getting people out of pain. And it's not uncommon for a lot of women that have been in the military to have some issues around that.
Oh my God. We're seeing the Marines United thing is interesting because it is the pinprick on a lot of other pain. Like, oh yeah, yeah, that, yeah, yeah. But you know, a lot of women will say, it's a little bit laughable because now this is getting a response. It's been going on forever and nobody's done anything about it. Hello, you know? Hello, it's about time. We've been asking you to help us out for a while on this stuff. Are you kidding me? So, I mean, I think that part of it's, you know, really interesting. But Daryl, first of all, I can't, again, these things always go too long and I'd apologize to you, except I really wouldn't mean it. So I won't do it.
No, you don't need to apologize. One other plug I'd like to put out is, you know, I do run a podcast myself and interview some pretty just amazing entrepreneurs And these are individuals that if you ask them to get on the phone, they'd like say, get out your credit card. It'd be $1,000 to have a conversation around stuff. And, like, kid you not. And guys that are, some of these guys have done $1 billion in sales and they've done seven figures in their businesses. And I'm sharing this because I want to bring these individuals and these minds to the business world to be able to help and serve you. So I go through and I ask them the tough questions and I put them on the hot seat and they talk about their stories and stuff they had to overcome. And then they share tidbits about stuff they know on the business side of things that by listening to just those stories, I have people messaging me and how they're helping change their lives and perspectives on things. And that's what it is about feeding your mind with the right information and unplugging from the CNN crap that's out there. That's just plugging you full of the wrong stuff. And that's one suggestion is continue to listen to All Marine Radio. Continue to plug into things that are positive, that are getting you to the direction you want to get. So I've got veterans, I've guys that I can reach out to that want to help veterans in business. I had an opportunity to go through an entrepreneurship program myself through Syracuse University. It was fully sponsored. I'm truly blessed to have a $1 billion network of people that I work with. And I want to bring that to all of you. You know, and that's one of my big things. And if people have questions about business or they want to reach out to me in that stuff, either I have the answer or I can get you the best person on this planet to really get you to the next level. So that's one of my plugs, honestly, where I just do it because I want to serve.
There you have it. There you have it. The we'll have you back on, and you brought up, I'd really like to, the next time we talk, purpose-driven life that most of us have lived, and you separate from the military and you look for purpose, and I want to get your thoughts on that in detail. Because I think without purpose in life, we as a group tend to flounder, and our minds go to bad places because they're not engaged in the creative part of life the way your brain is engaged when you're part of a creative endeavor that you're passionate about and that you're consumed by, and the importance of that in life and living a good, happy life. So I'll give you a call. We'll have you back here in the next couple weeks. And if you don't mind sharing your thoughts on that, because I think it's probably one of the things we don't talk about when we transition that is a huge, you know, contributor to mental health, to happiness, and all kinds of things is what are you going to do with your life?
Yeah, I'd like to share just a conversation I had last night about that exact thing. And
sure.
I was so we have a mentor network through the Naval Academy football team. And as former players, we get together once a month in the off season. We had like four meetings with the guys this off season and talk about transitioning, talk about military and whatnot. And last night we got together and it was an awesome opportunity. And we're hanging out afterwards, just kind of networking. It's just all of us former players at this point. And the thing is I had two of my best friends, who were with me that I played football with. We've been through hell and back. One guy is, he's out in the business world now. The other individual is, and he's like going to be out of shade at like Paris. And the guy was a SEAL team, intelligence officer as well. So, I mean, legitimate, these guys are top of what they do. And they still saw me for the stuff that I had to go through and the tribulations and things of that nature. And I had a special guest, my friend Jason Myers. And I'd be happy to share his information here as well. Is, Jason actually just recently acquired Guerrilla Marketing. Which is all about how to grow your business and stuff like that. And this is one of the best guys on the planet that's out there to grow businesses. He's a private equity firm and he put on a Facebook post, I think it was 2 days ago, and they want to sponsor and help any veterans that want to go to the program. And this is a program that would cost thousands of dollars to go to. And he's like, hey, if you guys have any veterans that want to come to our program, we want to just give them so they can just come. Like, so let's just put that plug out there. But the reason I bring this up is because this gentleman knows me for what I do today, and that's why we're one of the reasons we're friends. And when I looked at my buddies, and they look at me as I'm still that knuckle dragger from, you know, back in the day and stuff like that. And I said, Jason, would you mind describing these guys what I do? Because they just won't listen to me. And Jason turned around and he said, well, I'll just tell you a quick story. We were at dinner, and it was in a high-end event I was in. I was invited to come speak at in Las Vegas. And we were out at dinner, we're just having some fellowship, just hanging out. And the gentleman sitting across from me said he was going to go back to his hotel. And we had scheduled to go on this thing called the High Roller, which is a kind of a Ferris wheel that goes up in the sky. You're in this huge ball, like up in the sky in Las Vegas.
Right.
And so Steve looks across at me and says, well, I'm just going to go back to my room. And I was like, why are you doing that? And he's like, well, you know, I'm a little bit scared of heights. And I was like, a little bit? I was like, you're going to, all of us, there's like 20 entrepreneurs, you know, sitting around. I mean, these guys are just phenomenal at what they do. And Steve looks at me and says, well, I've got a fear of heights, you know, around doing that. And I don't think I'll feel comfortable doing that. And I said, hey, do you want some help with that? So, and this is Jason describing the story. So Jason said that between the appetizer and the main course, Daryl had a conversation with him, and then he was no longer afraid of heights. He got on the ball that night and was, you know, literally his face was against the glass trying to scare himself, trying to fall off the ride, and he couldn't do it. And they looked at me at that point, and they're like, holy cow. You know, and Jason in his own right is speaking at FedEx Field right now about how to grow your businesses and things of that nature. That's the football stadium in D.C. where the Redskins play.
Right.
And, you know, just phenomenal entrepreneur. So that's the gentleman. Those are the type of people I have in my network. And those are the people that I want to bring to all of you that, you know, you could have the opportunity to network in with individuals like that through me. You know, and that's why that's one of the things I want to put. So in having that vision statement that you're talking about is one of the things I do with people is when I work with entrepreneurs like that and help them, you know, set their goals and put them into reality. You know, and do it in a way that it happens, and it happens fast. So that's a whole process that I can talk about in an hour-long conversation very easily.
All right, so we got topics to cover in the future. Do you mind doing this on a relatively regular basis? Because I love having you on, because let me tell you, to me, what resonates with veterans, we know we're talking our tribe here, is guys who know the truth because they've lived it. You know, it's one thing to come on here and talk about being an entrepreneur and all of that. It's another thing when you carried our pack, you've shared our burden, you've walked in our steps, and because you know those things. And so I mean, the more guys that I can bring on and showcase and amplify their voice, I think the better it is for a whole lot of people. So I hope you don't mind.
No, absolutely. I mean, Just to point that out is, I mean, I went through my period where I didn't know what I was going to do. I was scared to death leaving the military, like, knowing what I was going to do. And I did about, I don't know, a dozen different things before I found truly what my passion is and truly what I'm going to do. And if I can help you guys shortcut that path, you know, as fast as possible, I will. You know, and that's my deal with doing that is because I went through that where didn't know what I was going to do, started one business, didn't work out. You know, market change, whatever it was. I've been down that road, and it's not a fun road to be on. And if you can get somebody in your corner, whether it's me or it's somebody in your community or somebody that can help mentor you along the way, who's done something that you're passionate about doing, you know, what you want to be, create a podcast radio station, talk to Michael. You know, I mean, that's, he knows how to do that, you know, versus like me, I don't know how to do that. I would go to Michael if I need help with something like that. So if you have somebody that's walked down that road, you know, there's people out there that want to share and want to help and want to give back, especially the people who have already been there and done it and see that you're passionate about whatever it is. There was an individual I got a chance to get some mentorship from, and his name is Ted Lahowitz, and he lives in Las Vegas. He also has a place in New York City. And I reached out to Ted. I met him at an event in Syracuse University, and he was there as the guest speaker. And he had helped, it was for veterans, it's the EVV program, which stands for Entrepreneurs, Veterans with Disabilities. And so I got an opportunity to go to this program, and I met some amazing entrepreneurs. But the first night he was the guest speaker, I made a point to go over and introduce myself, get his information. And I sent him a card in the mail just thanking him for coming and what he's done with the program and how he's helped raise money for it and all these other things. The guy owns his own golf course in Las Vegas. I mean, I find this out later, you know, like the neighborhood, it's his neighborhood, you know, this is the type of people I'm talking about. And that guy was so enthralled just by me sending that card. He reached out to me and he's like, hey, how can I help you with your business and stuff? And I was like, I'd love the opportunity to talk to you further about it. He's like, well, why don't we just come down and see you? And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, like this guy would come down where he's at. Like he's willing to, these individuals are willing to walk down off the mountain, you know, to come see you like face to face. And I said, oh, no, sir, it's okay. I don't want to take up your time doing that. I will come up the mountain and see you. And I was like, he's like, all right, cool. So I set a time date, got on a train from Maryland, took it all the way up to New York City. And here I was like big,
you know, I put a suit on and everything. I walked in there, a presentation. I sat down with him, and he mentored me like all day long on business and like, you know, how I should run my business and what I should do, and just poured into me. And it's a relationship I still have to this day that I stay in contact with. You know, it's because I took the time to seek out the individual and thank them for what they've actually done. And this individual has served on me ever since then. And there's people out there that are like that, and they're everywhere. You know, I remember talking with a gentleman that literally had the rights. His company had acquired the rights to Michael Jackson's songs. And literally, I mean, just like, you're talking about gazillions of dollars and stuff.
Right.
And we sought each other out, and he's not a veteran either. You know, he's a civilian. And, you know, he connected with me. He wanted to serve because I was a veteran. And he's like, hey, let's have lunch. And I was like, what? And then all of a sudden I found myself at this fancy, like, restaurant. And he's like, you know, at the end, like, I'm trying to pay, and he's picking up the bill. And I'm just kind of like, just so grateful. And there's tons of individuals that are out there that want to help you and want to give back. So there's a lot of people that have a thought process, unfortunately, that, hey, wealthy people are bad, or they're stuck up, or no, those individuals are the ones that are starting the nonprofits. They're the ones that are donating their money into the programs that are getting help. Those are ones that are helping run, you know, foundations like the Travis Manion Foundation. You know, they're the ones out there donating their money that they've acquired because they truly want to help and serve the veteran community. So just making sure that your mind's open enough to receive is what I'm talking about.
My guest for the last almost 2 hours has been Daryl Hill, and a conversation that, to me, if you can't tell, I mean, it cuts to the soul of my, cuts to my heart in terms of not only my life experiences, but then I think if you're a leader, you try to take your own life experiences and you try to use them to help others, from your kids to your, to the Marines that you lead, to their families and people you come in contact with. Because, as I tell my kids, this country didn't get to be what it is because nobody gave a shit about it. And what does that mean? It means you gotta be involved. You gotta care. You gotta work in your community. You gotta make it better. And if all of us do that, then guess what? World gets to be a pretty good place. So we're trying to do that in our community. Daryl, first of all, I've got about 6 different notes. I got a book, and I've got 4 guests and 2 different topics. So, we got about 6 months of work we got ahead of us. But, again, thank you very much today. And, the medicine man, in our tribe, one of them anyway, a powerful, medicine man, Daryl Hill, former major of the United States Marine Corps. God bless you, man. Thanks for doing this. And we'll talk again.
Ross, number 5.
Bye, bud. There he is. How about that? We got to take a break. A little bit overdue, but it's good stuff. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
That'll do it on a Thursday. Yeah, enough. I'm tired. No, my thanks to Daryl Hill for coming on. Awesome, awesome stuff. Again, the VA certainly has its role in all of this. But I think the more I see of this, peer-to-peer help is certainly the way to go. There's some people that need medical assistance. I think for the majority of people that I know, they need help for their soul, how to make sense of it. You need somebody that will walk you down that road. And that's my point in bringing these people on the air, is that there's other ways. Boulder Crest Retreat, you're going to hear from them next week. And we're going to continue our conversation about post-combat related mental health. Because there's a better way to go. There's a better way to get there. So, have a great afternoon on a Thursday. All Marine Radio, out.